Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Before I get into this week's episode of Sexy Unique Podcast, I have a couple announcements. Number one, there is a store for this podcast that sells pretty incredible merch. It's called Sexy Unique Store, and you can check it out at sexyuniquestore.com. And I am pleased to announce that the best-selling Vanderpump Rules is a Show for Geniuses stickers are officially back in stock. You can check those out along with Road to Sir posters, a very, very special homage to Lindsay Lohan, and more at sexyuniquestore.com. Also, a little reminder that this podcast is brought to you by my patrons on Patreon. You guys make it possible for me to talk about Vanderpump Rules, Lindsay Lohan's Beach House, and so much more on a weekly basis. And for that, I am forever grateful. If you've been a longtime fan of the pod, or if you're a new listener and you really, really want to support, here's how you can do it. Just go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast, and it is there that you will find all the details you need to become a supporter of SEP. For as little as a $1 per episode commitment, you will have access to over 60 bonus episodes, as well as season 1 and 2 recaps of Vanderpump Rules. That's so much content for so cheap. Honestly, it's a great deal. You should check it out. www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast for more details. And if you feel like becoming a supporter is out of your budget, or you're simply not interested, you can help spread the word by rating this podcast 5 stars and leaving a glowing review. Plus, you can tell all your friends and family about it, and then you will still be supporting my dreams to loll about Vanderpump Rules for the rest of my life. All right. And now, without further ado, I give to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you. And I'm your host, Laura Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beats, here we go so in. Got a girl with a friend, here we both win.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm here today with Helen Donahue.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, 100%. I'm so excited.
So excited. You reached out and it was magical timing.
Yeah.
And then I'm always looking for people who are just like fully versed within the Vanderpump Rules universe.
I was surprised to see that Felix was. And super excited when he shared that. I was like, okay, like I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone, he's awesome. If you're a pump head, you're listening and you need to be on the podcast, just reach out.
I don't know if I relayed this to you over social media, but it was so ironic that you had Roxanne on your last pod. First of all, iconic, but also we're in the same Playboy. I did like a nude spread.
Oh my God.
Which I'm not allowed to like share the assets for yet. But she's also in the magazine.
Oh, is it not? Has the magazine not been published yet?
No, it's been out for like 2.5 months. They want to like activate our specific spread because it's like female journalists that are like.
Also sexy.
Yeah. It's basically like me like talking about how I'm trying to like change people or like young people's perspective of feminism,
mm-hmm.
which I am trying to do because I feel like it's like an alienating word for like Gen Z.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like reel them in with like other things and like, I don't know.
I love. So I'm now just like going through that issue of Playboy and singling out pump heads and getting them on the podcast.
Yeah. No, it was like incredible because she's in the same issue. I should have brought you one. I have two.
She has it. Okay. Yeah. You'll have to give it to me some other time. But I read her article. It was like about her clapping back on Twitter and stuff. Yeah.
No, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And, they did this with me. They did a project with myself and 5 other Playboy journalists, which seems like a bit self-aggrandizing for mm-hmm. Playboy to be like, oh, like female journalists are like feminists too, but like only ours. But the like idea behind it was that you can be, which is kind of like a no duh for me, but like you can be a feminist and still write for Playboy. But yeah. I guess for a lot of people that's like a far away concept.
I guess maybe, but like, I
it
feel
shouldn't
like,
be.
No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because I feel like now we're hearing more, like, I feel like Emily Ratajkowski or whatever is like, you can be a feminist, but like still be hot.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, okay, do you remember her and Kim's mirror photo where they're like feminists? Like mm-hmm. the caption, what was the caption?
They were like feminist AF or something like that.
Yeah.
It was something
just, like,
very
covering,
basic.
They're like huge titties in the mirror with like their tiny waist.
And having like peace signs.
Yeah.
And
which
being,
is
like,
feminist. Yeah. Fuck.
So feminist. I love the idea that like when you say something like that, it's like groundbreaking. Like it never occurred to anyone that you can be hot and be a feminist at the same time.
That was what they kind of like asked me to write about. And I was like, that's really hard to write about because I feel like it's such.
But you're spreading the word.
I am.
Yeah. Maybe middle America needs to hear it the most.
Yeah, I don't know. My like title and like the feature is feminist firebrand, and I didn't choose it, but I think it's like kind of funny. I don't even really know what it means. Like,
neither, but it sounds firebrand. It would be good on the resume.
Should I Google it?
Yeah. How long have you been watching Vanderpump?
Since the first season. So okay. I've been watching since 2012.
So you've been in it.
Very in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Honestly, my favorite is Stassi, and I mm-hmm. like her. I see a lot of myself in Stassi, which could be bad.
I think it's like I've come around on Stassi because it's been a real like love-hate relationship over the years.
Yeah.
She was like particularly monstrous in like seasons 1 and 2. Then she has her, like, she gets knocked down a couple pegs, like, season 3, 4.
Yeah.
And has to really crawl her way back up.
Yeah,
and
she has to build the trust back.
Yeah, and now we're watching her succeed.
And she did that with Lisa.
Yeah, and I think is hard.
That's so hard because Kristen, as we saw in the last episode, is just, she's never going to be able to do it.
No, Kristen will never be truly
she's
in the
She's not
fold.
Respected.
No.
I think Stassi's really smart. I don't think that the show has ever given her credit for being as smart as she is. She's really smart. She knows exactly what her audience wants.
Yeah. And she's been able to like build a very sustainable brand and business outside of anything to do with... I every once in a while listen to it Me for too. Bonus episodes and like roast it because I'm just like, this is like inane, the most like inane conversation, especially when like the other witches of WeHo are on and they just like are talking about God knows what.
Yeah.
But like, I definitely listened to her like anti Me Too episode. Did you hear that?
Yes. I go on like long walks and listen to her podcast where it's just like, it's really easy to, it's almost meditative because she talks about nothing.
Yeah.
She's literally talking about like her day and like Beau and like how sweet he is. And then she'll like eventually have like an ex of like Jax's on as like her guest.
She keeps it also really just within her own universe. Like she's not really trying to expand out with like interesting guests. So I feel like
it's,
like
yeah, it's all her friends.
It's just like Rachel O'Brien.
Yeah. Or it's people that like she for her, they're like a really big I remember this one girl, I totally forget. I think her name is also Sheena.
Is there another Sheena in the mix? I feel like there might be.
There is, and I think they're friends and that she's like a wellness hoe. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And whenever she was on the podcast, I listened to it and then I was like, oh, like this, she like must really be someone. And I went to like her Instagram and she had like no, and I was like, no, this is like someone that Stassi just like,
it's like,
it's just
let's
like in
do
her
this.
Crew.
Yeah. Cause like I have another podcast where it's just like me and my friends, but it's very similar where it's just like, sometimes I'll go outside of like the friend group to like book someone like a psychic or something. Yeah. But mostly I'm just like, I just want to loll with like people I know.
I kind of like that. And I think that a lot of people are relating to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Stassi's podcast that I can't get over is that she calls her fans her Khaleesi's.
That actually sends like shivers down my spine. Like I had just a mini seizure right now.
I just like, I wonder like how does she relate to like how is she relating herself to Game of Thrones first of all at all, but also to like I don't watch it anymore.
I don't watch it like it's one of those shows that like I missed it kind of when it was coming up as like a popular show, and then now there's just too much of it, so I feel like it's like my time is precious, and if I'm gonna devote to like an hour long drama, it's going to be Sopranos.
Yeah.
Like I don't I have no bandwidth for like fantasy.
No. And I think that the thing that actually like popped off with Game of Thrones was the amount of sex, and they tuned it down. And so I'm just like, they got to the
dragons.
Like
if a brother and sister aren't fucking, count me
out.
Why would
I watch it? But Stassi, like her, I just like, do you think that you're,
does she think Daenerys? She's Daenerys? Like, cause they're both blonde.
I think so. I think that that's the connection. I think that Stassi also sees her as like this very like powerful, aggressive woman, which I think she could be if she utilized her intelligence. I'm waiting for her book about like basic bitch.
I can't wait to read that book.
I really want to get sent
a galley.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy it.
No,
but like, I do want to get like an advanced copy.
But I do think I could probably, we could both.
I'll buy it. Yeah, we can definitely request. I feel like I have so many questions. Like, I'm like, did she write this by herself? Did she have a ghostwriter? What do you think? Because you're a writer too. Like, you know the drill when it comes to like books
and
shit.
I think she likely has a really good editor.
Yeah.
But even just like the scene from like, what was it? Was it one or two episodes ago
where she's just
like
Skyping?
Pretending to that like maybe write?
So fake.
And what does Beau call? Beau's like, oh, you're like Stephen King's daughter. Like, there's like so far, like a man who's written like what, like 600 books. And then Stassi's just like sitting at a table in like a black dress and
like Skyping, which that's not like how it works, which I said on the podcast at the time. I was like, just FYI, as someone that's like written books and had to like talk to editors, like, I've never Skyped with them. And then you also don't like sit down and Skype and they're like, okay, so you have 3 months, like, hope you can make it go. Yeah, like, no. It's not how it
works. I mean, that's so unreal. I mean, I guess that begs the question of the ghostwriter part, because writing a book in 3 months is like not plausible for someone like Stassi.
Yeah, like I thought,
even though it is centered around like outfit of the day section.
Yeah, and like I feel like there's a chapter about like pugs and why they're cool, which I was like, okay, justice
Wait,
for
does
pugs.
She, does she have a pug or does Bo?
No, no one has a pug, but it was just like I remember in the blurb for the book, like pugs were mentioned. Like it was like it's okay to like wine and pugs. And I was like, no one ever said it was not okay to like love a pug.
That is so funny. I can't wait to read it.
Like it made me think that she had written like a huge chunk of the book in the proposal already. Like a lot of sample material and like chapter outlines were already very much mapped out.
That is the best way to do it now.
Because then when you have like a very limited amount of time to write it, it's like, it's not like you're starting from just like ground zero trying to like write an entire book. Like most of it has probably been like on the page, or at least you know where you're going with this book.
Yeah.
But I'm actually excited for it.
Me too. I really want to read it. And also if she had a ghostwriter, I'm jealous because I feel like that would be my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
I would love to edit or write Stassi's book.
And she did write for Pandora's website.
Yeah.
Like long ago. And she did like write for her own website until it kind of changed from like a fashion blog just to like a general kind of celebrity website.
I think she's smart. Like I think she could write. She just doesn't. She's not around the right people to ever like execute her smarts.
Yeah. She's surrounded by dum-dums.
Yeah. And I don't think she's dumb. I've always thought she was like inherently smart and like knows how to like hold herself.
She's reality TV gold and like has been wanting this life for so long. And it's kind of amazing that it just finally all clicked into place for her. And she's like living out her destiny.
Yeah. I wonder how much money she makes.
I was wondering that last night because I was like, I think they make like true bank now.
I think so, too.
Like, the joke is fully on us because they're rich.
Yeah.
And I was, like, got kind of depressed at one point last night. Like, I couldn't sleep. And then one of the thoughts that, like, went through my head was, like, everyone on Vanderpump Rules is rich. And then it really, like, threw me.
Who do you think is the least well-off currently?
Probably, I think, okay, I don't know. Did Brittany join? No, she's probably doing really well because her alliance with Jax and their relationship, and I'll bet they're getting a big payday for their wedding.
Yeah, and they did that. The
Raquel is a day. Raquel's like a day player. I think. Like, I think she only gets paid by the hour for any sort of like talking head interviews she does. So she's like very.
But like, what else does she do?
What else can she do?
Yeah,
Raquel's someone that's like, I'm worried.
Her, I just like in my head, I can't get her saying the word scoops out of my head. You know what I'm talking about?
You do a really good
scoops
of ice cream.
She speaks for someone that dumb. That's not mean. She's dumb.
She's dumb.
Yeah. For like, someone that dumb, she speaks like every word out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's how you know someone is extra dumb, is if they have to like enunciate everything they say.
Yeah.
And also the sign of a total dummy is when you call them dumb and they get so upset about being called dumb. It's like,
because they know they're dumb. She cried. Yeah. She was like, I am dumb.
Yeah. And so then it's like, okay, well, the jig is up. You're dumb. James.
And he's just like, and then it cuts.
He's like, no, you're my world. You're my world, babe. You're my queen. Do you want to answer like that question? He just diverts and tells her like how gorgeous she
is. My favorite part was like the cut shot where it was clear they like put some sort of like hold before he could talk in there. And so it was just like 30 seconds of him just like staring at the wall, like wondering what to say. And you have to like wonder like what's going on. Like, was that actually how it happened? And it kind of seemed like it was, because she was like kind of just staring and being like, are you going to answer?
Yeah. And then she has time to really wonder if she is dumb as well and like question her morality.
Her watching Winnie the Pooh like alone in like a classroom. It's heartbreaking. But at the same time, I'm like,
Raquel's struggle.
Such a struggle. Actually, one of like the talking points I wrote down was, she said something that I could not get over. Hang on. You probably wrote it down too, or you at least know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, whenever she got like very vindictive about his letter writing.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, if you're going to be friends with Lala, what am I going to do? Just sit at home with Graham? And it just pans to the dog like laying on the floor. And it's like, what? Like, I like James isn't asking you to like sit at home with like your apricot poodle.
No.
As like your only option in life. Unless he is. I feel like he is probably rather controlling.
He probably likes her. Like, I think he got her that apartment. Like, he was like, I'll get the apartment, babe. And you're just gorgeous. You get to hang out in here. And he pays for like stuff for her. Like, I went to a See You Next Tuesday and like really tried to like corner him and interact with him just to see what was going on. And then he revealed like he pays for all his parents' stuff. He pays for Raquel's like schooling and then like
schooling. She's still in school.
I don't know. She needs to go to some sort of school.
She needs to go back to school. What was her, I think she revealed what her degree was in, but I
kinesiology
forgot.
Which means, like, she could be a chiropractor.
Physical therapist or a chiropractor. Would you let her crack your back?
No, I think that she doesn't have the strength.
She couldn't. She couldn't. Yeah, she couldn't.
Like, have you ever gone to a chiropractor that simply doesn't have the strength to handle
you? I just switched chiropractors because of that. Because I was like, you're not doing... And she would be like, oh, I think, like, your neck's just too tense to crack.
No.
And then I went to another one, and he was just like...
Yeah, I went to one recently that just, like, could not manipulate my body in the way it needed. And I was like,
they have to be fearless and very strong.
Yeah, there's one chiropractor who's also Paris Hilton's chiropractor that truly is the best one out there. He's a total, like, slick guy. And he has an awful personality and will ask you, like, really uncomfortable questions about like your dating life as though
he
knows you.
I've had New York City chiropractors like that.
Yeah. And then he like breaks your neck and then you feel immediately better. And
that's a high that I can't replace.
Yeah. He's the one. Like, and I was like, you know what? I'm sick of giving Dr. Tom my business. Like, I'm going to go to this other guy. And this other guy just like fucked me up more. I'll give you Dr. Tom. I saw Paris Hilton in the waiting room once. Like,
that's worth it.
Yeah. We kind of talked about this offline, but this episode sucked.
It did. It sucked.
It was a filler episode.
Yeah. No drama.
Like, don't try and make me believe that there's any sort of high stakes with this Daily Mail party.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't even really show us, like, what happened there. It was more just, like, blurbs of, like... Lisa's like drunk, which also like they cut away from like the same scene of her drinking once like four times, and I was like, so she drank one it's her drinking one pink cocktail,
but she was drunk. Like, yeah. There's a moment where you can just tell that she's like fully blackout, like just smiling at nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, Lisa deserves this, but also this is probably her blowing off a lot of steam because she's basically getting raked over the coals in Beverly Hills, and like isn't she gonna be out of Beverly Hills now?
Yeah, I think that when does that premieres, like, what, next week?
I think
and I think it's her I know it's her last series, but I don't know if she leaves like midway through.
I'm also fascinated by her not going to Andy's baby shower.
I know.
That is like, you don't not go.
Yeah. That's like a bravo no.
Yeah. Like, that is, she drew a line in the sand and like, she'll never be able to like bounce back from that.
Yeah. I was watching Watch What Happens Live last night, and my boyfriend made like a snide remark about like Andy being like, who does he think he is? And I was like, we don't talk about him like that.
You're like, I'll never have a terrible chill because he'll destroy you.
Yeah. He owns everyone.
Everyone.
He owns everyone. And once you fall out of favor, like, you are out of favor. Even if he has you on his show.
That doesn't mean he likes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be in favor with him.
Like, I worry about the future of Vanderpump Rules because Lisa didn't go to his baby shower. Like, this is going to have consequences that we don't even understand yet that are going to play out, like, for the rest of our lives.
Let's not think about that. One funny thing from Watch What Happens Live is that Andy validated for Raquel that she looks like a young Connie Britton.
That's true.
I know. He was like, so who do you look like? And she was like... I guess it was like something that had come up.
Really good question to ask Raquel. Like, keep it really simple. who do you look like?
So like, what's, you know, like, it's like, it's something that you ask people in middle school. You're like, so like, what celebrity do you think you resemble most? It's like a Cosmo or like, what was that magazine? Like 17
or YM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it like asks you questions like that, where you like have to like decide which celebrity you are. And she was like, Connie Britton.
Yeah, someone had posted in the Sup Facebook group that like they posted like a side by side and it was shocking how similar they looked.
It's just also so offensive to Connie Britton.
Yeah.
As like a
Connie doesn't deserve this.
No.
No.
She doesn't.
Who do you look like? That's really
who
good.
Look like?
You can't ask them anything else.
I caught like the tail end of it. So I don't know. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it.
It was Billy James
and Raquel.
So I feel like I should have tuned in.
What did Billy have to say?
I tail end of it. She said nothing.
Okay.
But she rarely has anything good to say.
Yeah. She's having a rough edit this season.
As she should. I don't think she's a good character.
I think like she has potential, but like, the girls' night stuff is misguided. Also, really weird that she made such a huge deal out of girls' night and then was nowhere to be found at girls' night 2.
Yeah.
Like, did she care about it that much? I guess not.
No.
Because she didn't deign to show her face.
I found it very manipulative. And also, the downside of social media is weaponizing it.
Yeah.
In the way that she did. Not that I think that anyone she was coming at is like a good person. I think Lala is actually kind of a good person.
I think Lala is, but Lala is also slowly, or not, maybe not even slowly, like just crossing over she's checking out, and she's also like buying into her own hype in a way that she hasn't done in the past. Like, she's always kind of been like self-aware and been like making like blowjob for the PJ jokes, but then now it's like she's about to like bring these girls into her world that were literally 2 years ago slut shaming her and like shit talking her.
Yeah.
For her relationship.
It's night and day between then and now.
Lisa is really freaking out like at the beginning of the episode because the Daily Mail party is in 24 hours and they're trying to do some sort of countdown as though we give a shit about like
the Daily Mail party. Like, that no one heard about. I didn't hear about it until this episode.
I had heard about it because I was like really on deep TomTom watch as to like when the fuck it was going to open. And then I remember it was open for like one night for the Daily Mail party. So, which is okay. I feel like it's kind of a like a testament to how shady Lisa is about like all her business dealings. But like Daily Mail paid a big chunk of change just to like use this space. So like I feel like it's like Lisa needed that money to like make TomTom happen. Like it wasn't going to happen without that Daily Mail money.
Yeah, for sure. And they're loaded.
And so she's like, we don't have gas. We don't have
toilets.
Like, no bathroom, no lights, no gas in TomTom.
And they were just sweating.
And they're all sweating.
Yeah.
It's so hot in there.
And Lisa's wearing a shirt that says checkmate bitch on it. What was that? I tried to get like the writing underneath it.
That's really like mafia-esque.
It is. And it's also, I feel like, kind of anti her whole new vibe of like, I really care about women. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, what? You're just like suddenly wearing this like very aggressive shirt that just says checkmate bitch on it. Like, who was that to?
I feel like it's to her castmates on Beverly Hills.
I think so too, because it wasn't blurred out.
No.
Whereas like Tom Schwartz's shirt, of course you wear a graphic tee.
Yeah.
Which is like very much in his
Tom Schwartz's style in
disgusting.
This episode truly crossed a line. He needs to be like, I'm ready to make
down.
A citizen's arrest.
Yeah, I wrote it down. There was at one point he was wearing that raglan. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the little button, like
no,
the little metal button things. He wore a couple raglans, I think. Oh no, I'm thinking of maybe
like
James Kennedy's raglan.
He wore this like terrible raglan like panel shirt where the panel was like up here and then it was like maybe a navy blue and it was covered in floral but white underneath it.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
Disgusting.
And then he wore like kind of matching shorts or something.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrifying.
It was really awful. He's unwell, right? Like, what is... There's something being completely unsaid and skimmed over because he looks bad. He looks unhealthy.
Do you read blind items?
Sometimes, yeah. There was one about, like, a heroin addict on a reality show or, like, a
opioids.
Drug addict. Yeah.
yeah, that was, I think, about him. Everyone in the comments, I'm just like a horrifyingly obsessive blind item person.
Yeah.
When I'm sad, I like make my boyfriend read them to me out loud so he can like join in on
it's
it.
It's true love.
It is. It is. But there was one and everyone in the comments was like, this is Tom Schwartz, like 100%. And you always know with blind items, like when it's a specific person, when like 60 people
are like,
I know who this is.
But how do they know?
I don't know.
Is it just one person starts commenting and then the rest just like all pile on because it sounds like it makes sense?
Well, I think it was also corroborated by, are you a fan of Enty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there was another blind item that pointed to Tom Schwartz and Katie.
Okay.
On Crazy Days and Nights. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember reading that blind item that was like, this star is like, the addiction goes beyond just alcohol and is like full blown. Like,
I believe it. When you look at him, he seems miles away.
He has circles, dark circles under his eyes. He's glassy.
Yeah.
He looks like just straight up.
He looks blue.
Yeah.
Like he looks like he's overdosing at any second. Mm-hmm. It's really concerning.
And no one's talking about it at all.
No one talked about it whenever he like wound up on like a random island.
Okay,
like,
so here's a theory that I read on Reddit last week that fascinated me, and I think that it's true. Someone posited that the reason that the cast made such a huge deal out of like James and Kristen potentially hooking up in Mexico was to deflect from the fact that Tom Schwartz like fucked some random girl at another hotel. So, because remember James, like, did you, what happened with you and Kristen? What happened with you and Kristen?
It was such a big deal.
We hung out. And then Tom Sandoval was like, you hooked up? Like, literally took the wrong words out of his mouth and blew it up into a thing.
And then Jax was like, I saw the pillows in the hot tub. I know what that's for.
Yeah. And I think that the reason that it makes sense.
I've always wondered.
And then they all leaned into that so hard to just, like, take away from this, like, other thing that happened.
And I mean, the James and Kristen are the easiest targets on the show.
Yeah.
If you want to say they did anything, everyone will believe you.
Even though, like, you could have rewound the footage to see, like, if he was like, I didn't say that. And, like, there are producers there that could say, like,
that's
back him up on that.
100%.
And it was so weird that they kept saying, like, this thing that he didn't ever say.
The weirdest thing is that in every situation where there has been cheating, where like it wouldn't matter, where it wasn't a married couple, I feel like this was like the difference, is like married couple, like marital cheating, every other time producers have been in on it.
Yeah.
Like, why was no one there, like, recording this kind of like flirtatious, like, poolside
like
romp?
Yeah, there was no hot tub footage, there was no like early morning on the beach footage, and like
there's no footage of them even really speaking.
Yeah.
It was just like, if producers wanted to kind of like get that into your minds, they would have set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the Vanderpump producers. They're really good at it.
Yeah. And a lot of the girls, like,
I mean, they had faith,
like,
recording evidence of like Jax talking about Britney. It's kind of just like, why was there no evidence that they even spoke that night?
Yeah. And when like the cast went on Watch What Happens, like all the girls, I think Andy asked them again, like, did they hook up? And they were like, no, like, they did not hook up, like, in Mexico, James and Kristen. Like, we were just, like, out really early in the morning and then, like, went to bed.
I believe it.
But I think also, because remember when Katie, like, Tom Schwartz cheated on her with that other girl that, like, looked like her and was calling her Bubba. And then she was just, like, zen about it and, like, not going to make a big deal. I feel like she's now gotten, because of the bad edit that she got in season 5, she has everyone, like, OG cast on her side to be like, we're not looking into this. We're not going to, like, put our relationship on blast anymore. Like, we have to just, like, lock it up. And this is, like, the pact that we all have with each other.
I mean, I also think that since they got married, it's just more laying low for them. Like, if something, like, big got out, it would actually be big.
Yeah.
Like, it would lead to like divorce speculation and like what's gonna happen to them next. And I've heard on like, I don't know what dumb site it was. It was probably like the Hollywood Reporter or something, that she's been giving him like ultimatums for like babies and stuff like that. And so it's like, if anything serious got out about him cheating, which like, I don't think he's malicious. I think he's fucked up on drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And I think he's dumb as fuck.
I think that he's just like, he needs someone to be in the driver's seat of his life. Like, yeah. He can't make any decisions. And yeah. So he's with a woman who is very, like, controlling over him because that's where he feels most comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's not the way to, like, let his true light shine. So that's why he turns to, like, substances and, like, and he's also someone that, like, never has had any direction whatsoever and has failed upwards into this position of, like, now co-owning a restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, unlike Sandoval, like, Schwartz, it just seems like he barely knows what he's talking about.
Like, he doesn't know
he's using buzzwords.
Yeah. He doesn't know anything that's going on and hasn't in years.
And he's so much more willing. Like, yesterday when I saw him take a swig of, like, what was it, like, tequila?
Mezcal.
Like, yeah.
Who does that?
Like, as he's trying to prepare drinks. And, like, Sandoval wouldn't is the difference. And, like, I have my own, like, qualms with Sandoval as, like, probably the corniest person on Vanderpump. But he's so professional when it comes to, like, his own cocktails.
Yeah, he's
and
a mixologist.
Schwartz is just kind of like, what am I doing? Like, what am I, why am I here?
Yeah,
probably
he just goes through,
like,
the motions. Yeah, he's like
preparation,
coming off of, like, the worst hangover of his life, like, jonesing for more pills, and then just, like, yes, trying to, like, get, like, through cleaning a toilet while, like, sweating and muttering to
himself. Just, like, it's not a good sign whenever you're opening a business that's named after you and you're already, like, skimping alcohol for yourself and being like, I'm just gonna save this for later.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, this is a bad sign.
No,
as like Sandoval's like sweating, like pouring like different alcohols into like these big containers,
mm-hmm,
and he's just like drinking like tequila in the background.
I'm on like Schwartz watch, and I'm a Schwartz truther at this point, and I yeah. think that something dark-sided is afoot, and that's where I stand.
Yeah,
and same. I'm ready for the truth to come the fuck
same.
out. Jiggy, Jiggy has been like dead in every scene. It cuts to him.
That was one of my talking points I wrote down. Like, he's just like dead on like a picnic bench.
It's too hot for Jiggy
also, like,
to be outside
was
of the
that
house.
Filmed? It just like cut away to this like, it was like a very like dark interior wherever like Lisa's like freaking out and they're
yeah.
all freaking out. And then
I think it's
it
the
cuts.
Interior of Tom Tom, like where she just like plopped Jiggy down.
Yeah.
And then
and
he like passed
dead.
Out from a heat stroke.
I just like, I genuinely believe this dog has been dead for years.
For years.
And it's just like Weekend with Bernie's. They did it again. They did it again, like towards the end of the episode where
yeah.
they like once away, like once again, like cut away to a scene where this dog is just like laying down, like just not breathing.
Also, this period of time when they're filming, I remember when this like heat wave was happening and it was hot as fuck during the summer.
Girl,
like,
you shouldn't have brought a dog.
Jiggy is not.
Lisa commented on it on Twitter.
What did she say?
I think that people were like,
they were like, yeah,
like, calling like
animal protective
yeah,
services.
Hang on. She definitely made a comment. I'm pulling it up.
Cause Jiggy also like, did she say? It's like his alopecia makes him like colder.
This is the funniest tweet. She goes, by the way, .. Unfortunately, yes, Jiggy has a heart condition. As you will see, precious little man, # nurture.
Okay. That's just it.
That's it. And it's following, it was directly following the show airing. And so I was like, I feel like people have probably been like, is your dog okay? Like,
the answer is no.
That scene was like, it also was like a second. I was like, why would you? That's like some weird like advertising, like cigarettes in like the 50s to like in commercials where they'd like pop up. And it's just like this weird like psychological mind fuck where you just see this dead dog on like a bench.
Yeah. They've been doing that this season because there was so another episode weird. Where she's like, what do you think, Jigsta? And he's just
oh, and
like,
he's ugh. Just like, yeah, he's yeah. just like, slooped over in her arms. I just like think he's been dead.
His days are numbered if he's not.
I don't know what's gonna happen to her when that dog dies, because it's her personality.
Yeah,
that dog is her entire personality.
How though has Jiggy managed to outlive like three other of her dogs? Like, remember Pink Dog died, and then there was like another dog yeah. that died. Like, Jiggy is like the he's like they've done some voodoo shit to him.
I feel like they are so rich that they can manage to keep this dog alive, like, against its will.
Yeah.
How old is that dog?
I don't know.
However
but I think,
old, too old for the breed, for sure.
Yeah. And he probably has to get, like, IVs.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just keeping it alive at this point.
Yeah. Tom and Ariana are running errands, which was a big kind of like pass for me. Like, I don't care about.
Yeah.
I don't care about so the storyline.
That was the part where I was like, I'm not writing down anything for this. And then I saw on like the Vanderpump Gossip like Facebook group that someone was like, Ariana is so fucking funny. She cracks me up. Like talking about how she was like, we'll just burn it down. And she's I'm like that's we'll not just let funny. Him,
like what did she say? She's like, I'll just let him like he's freak like a toddler. Out. And yeah. then like he comes around. Do you think that their relationship... What do you think about fake, their relationship?
Completely fucking fake. They have no sexual chemistry. I would be so surprised if they have sex. I mean, they had an entire season that was like dedicated to like them admitting they don't have sex.
Yeah.
And that they actually never really have. And she admitted that she was more comfortable having sex with him whenever she was trying to impress him.
Mm-hmm.
Which like I get. I genuinely get like the beginning of relationships when you're like, I love giving blowjobs. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like, you're I'm like, not doing that.
No, you need to like buy me dinner.
Blow yourself.
If
yeah.
we're going to do this.
Get two of your ribs removed and blow yourself. Please. I'm not doing it. And like that's just like not how relationships work. But in the beginning, you're just like, oh, I want to come off as like, you know, I've had a lot of issues with Ariana. Mm-hmm. I thought in, you know, at least like 5 seasons that she was too much of like a cool girl that was, you know, always hanging out with the guys, always disagreeing with the women, being really combative. I think she's grown a lot. But one of the aspects of that was that like, I think she cool girled her way into a relationship with Sandoval and now doesn't know how to...
How do they get out?
How does she get out of it? Because they're so good on paper together as like two like badass mixologist. By the way, like where's her book? That would have taken like probably 500 words to like fill an entire book of like...
Where is the book?
Simple cocktail recipes.
Yeah.
I would like it. Like I'd like
I would buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like there's no sexual chemistry. I think it's really interesting that I think it's really fucked up that he outed her sexuality basically.
But yeah.
I'm also really confused by that whole situation. I saw on the news that she had to like clear up publicly where I don't know where, like whether she did it through like Instagram stories. She had to like clear up that like she didn't cheat on Sandoval. She was trying to initiate a threesome, but it was also her idea.
Okay.
And so I don't know. Maybe she's confused about like her sexuality. I think I would like much rather like stan her and Lala than like her and Sandoval are just roommates. Like they're simply friends.
Yeah. They're tight friends who have like had sex a handful of times like make each other laugh every once in a while.
She's like a cool girl. I think that she's really kind of gotten over her ego. I'd love to know like when she became such besties with Kristen, but I do think she's gotten over herself a lot.
Yeah. I think
where she should be like branching out a bit more.
I would love to see Ariana and Sandoval like amicably separate and then for her to like go full lesbian for a while because I think that she has that kind of chemistry.
Yeah,
like
we know she's gay.
Mm-hmm.
We know that she loves women. I think she'd be so much happier without
and also I'm like
a man like Sandoval.
Why did Sandoval I'm confused at why Sandoval didn't get in on like the threesome initiation.
I think also, that they I have think, sex so little that he was probably like, why are you so down for this? But I know why she's so down for it. First of all, Lala is so hot. But
Lala's
also,
hot.
Yeah.
Also, I think Lala
I think
and
Ariana
Randall,
is just a bit gayer than any of us expected.
Yeah. I think Lala and Randall were on a break at a certain point, like during the summer too, which is why, because I don't think Lala would like hook up
Never.
Outside of that relationship unless they were like having
had an agreement or something.
James is writing a letter to Randall, which I thought at first that he had spelled Randall's name wrong, but then I paused it and he had spelled it right. But it was like
that letter,
skipping like 3 lines. Like if you're going to write an apology letter, you need to do it like it needs to be line by line, like feel very formal.
100%.
That letter felt like you're not going to write this. Like, what is this plot point? You're scribbling down. Like, this isn't, like, lyrics.
Yeah. The funniest thing I thought about the letter was his whole apology was basically like, hey, man. I'm not even going to do the British accent. But it was like, hey, man, I'm, like, really sorry if, like, anything that I maybe said about you offended you. And, like...
Not an apology.
You know, yeah. It was just, like, kind of skirting around, just being like, hey, I'm really sorry. That's all you have to say. That also, is an apology. Like Google, I say this to so many people that just do not know how to make actual apologies or don't know what apologies are. Apologies aren't just like,
I'm sorry if you felt bad about yes. what I said, or like, I'm sorry for like the way I handled the situation. It's like, no, just apologize yeah. for your actions and then it's over.
Anything
and then
you've apologized. Yeah. Anything that puts blame on the other person is a just really big non-apology.
And also like, it's wild that it's like, James, you clearly don't want to apologize. Like you out of one side of your mouth, you're like, so I have to write this letter to Randall. And like, then in your talking heads moment, you're like, he is a fat man. He's fat. And it's like, okay, well then just don't apologize.
Yeah.
Like you don't want this.
I think he just wants to get in everyone's good graces again. And he sees that through Lala, who has such a soft spot for him
mm-hmm.
and has fallen for it a few times, though I don't really think she is anymore.
I think they're done.
I think
their relationship is like fully run its course.
I think
which
so too.
Makes me very sad.
Yeah. They were great together.
They were so great. Yeah, they were iconic.
2016 was like an iconic year for both of them.
Yeah.
But then like Raquel like walking up to him and being like, so you're just like going to be friends with Lala after she was mean to me.
Yeah.
And then tells him that she's like going to, I actually like didn't not understand his anger about that. I was like, okay, like that is like very odd. He can't like, you know, the thing is about James is that he's probably going to AA. I would be surprised if he isn't going.
You think he is?
I think
so. I don't think so. Because I don't think he understands, like, he's like, oh, I haven't drank for, like, 11 days. Or, like, he's like, no, mate, I'm not drinking right now. But, like, he then is mad that everyone else, like, later on, he's, like, mad that everyone else can drink and do whatever. But, like, he can't. Which is very, I think, classic, like, addiction.
It is, yeah.
Like, they talk about that a lot in, like, the program and stuff. But, like, also, I feel like he would, if he was, like, actually trying to go to AA and understand, like, the depths of his addiction and substance abuse problem, like,
do you think he's going to therapy or anything like that? Because I know that the only reason that I would even suggest that he could be in AA is because Lisa is hellbent on continuing to help him. And one of her biggest things is, like, you need help. Like, real help. I think he'd even go just to get back into good graces with them. To be like, oh, no, I am taking this seriously. But I don't think that AA would ever be, like, or therapy would be like a subplot for Vanderpump Rules. They just don't want you to see like what these people are talking about with their therapists.
But also it's like the only glimpses of AA that we've truly ever had is with Laura Lee going to that like NA meeting. And that was like so dark. And then Shay's like addiction, but they don't really talk about addiction with like main cast members. Yeah, it always is like a side like sexy, person. Yeah.
They should all be in AA.
Yeah. And also if one of them literally goes, all of them. They all need to be like, it shines a light on everyone. And I don't think anyone's ready to like accept the fact that they're all like functioning alcoholics.
Yeah.
To various degrees.
I also like, obviously I hope James stays sober, but I don't know how long it'll last. But I did kind of understand his frustration that, you know, like I understood where he was like, oh, you're like going to hang out with Lala, but I can't apologize and get back into that crew where it seems like Raquel is actually wanting to become more of that crew.
Yeah, I think Raquel will. She has ulterior motives because I think she wants to be heavily featured on this show. And so
she
knows,
we need more of her.
She knows that if she's going to do that, she has to be friends with the girls because otherwise they just shut you out and you don't get camera time. You don't get paid. And like, that's the end of you, which I think is what they kind of have tried to do to Billy Lee a little bit.
Yeah.
And like, it unfortunately got lost in all the like girls night transphobia, like social media meltdown. But I think the biggest thing is they don't want new blood to come and like take their jobs. So it's in their best interest if they keep it really insular and keep people like Billy Lee and Raquel out of the mix. But Raquel is like,
Raquel wants to be in the
mix. You don't fuck someone on Vanderpump Rules if you don't desperately want to be on Vanderpump
Rules. I mean,
at
this point, he's cheated on her so many times, and she's so aware of it. Did you see the post? It was like a maybe over Christmas where she was like, James walked all the way to Madison Avenue with me. What an angel.
From where?
Like, I don't know, and I don't care. I feel like they were walking, like, they had to have been walking horizontally. It's not like they walked, like, from, like, Harlem to, like, Madison Avenue.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, maybe it was, like, part, I think it was Madison Avenue. I think that that's, like, a place where, like, she feels like she belongs with, like, mm-hmm. the Michael Kors stores.
Yeah.
But, like, it was the dumbest thing. And I was just, like, this was also right after an episode about him cheating on her once again.
Yeah.
And I was, like, what is this? Like, is this, like, a weird, like, I just, the way that she tries to, like, vindicate him through these, like, very bare minimum actions of, like, he walked with me.
Yeah, she's, like, too kind of dumb to realize that that, like, only supports
yeah.
the whole theory.
And that's like, not, like, love. Like, buying you, like, a toy poodle and, like, basically buying you anything does not make up for, like, the lack of emotional support that we all know that he gives her.
I need James to come, like, to go fully gay, like, next season. Like, break up with Raquel and then, like, be in a relationship with a man. Like, lean. Everyone needs to lean into their, like, bi-ness.
Yeah.
I also need Kristen to, like, finally, like, break up with Carter and, like,
maybe also be gay.
Yeah, be gay.
Yeah.
I think that that's where everyone should go next season.
I could see. What if she and Ariana... Could you see it?
I could maybe see that.
Because Ariana is kind of like a copy of Sandoval.
Yeah, and Kristen, I think that Kristen holds grudges for forever. And even if she says she's cool with Sandoval now, she'll like she would always take an opportunity to like
fuck
up someone's life.
She would fuck Ariana in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Didn't she? Okay. I think
she and Brittany.
Yeah. And Jax like relayed that on an episode a little while ago, acting like it wasn't really cheating, but also that it kind of was. Cause didn't he walk in on it?
He walked in on it. And then I think he was
on them just like eating each other's
to be
pussies.
Upset. Yeah.
He was upset. I think
and
that
then
he was
he
like,
thought
probably
that was like cheating. And then there was like a whole discussion that happened within like various groups or like viewers of the show that was like, is this cheating? Is this not? And that's a kind of an interesting point that Vanderpump brings up, which is like, is it cheating if you're hooking up with someone like a same-sex hookup while you're in a monogamous relationship with someone else?
I talked recently with my friend who's a pornographer about this subject, and we kind of concluded that men are so, first of all, like grossly masculine, but also like inherently internally misogynistic, mm-hmm. that they tend to overlook women cheating with other women because that's like a fantasy. So even if you're mad, it almost doesn't count to men. Whereas like Brittany cheated on Jax the same way that Jax cheated on Brittany,
mm-hmm.
yet it was like not dramatic.
Yeah.
No one talked about it. It was more of like a sensationalized point of the show.
But also it was, I think, shot down really quick or never, like, confirmed as it happened because her family background is so conservative.
Yeah.
And, like, the pastor that's marrying them is, like, a known homophobe. Like,
I mean,
people
her parents
unearthed his
also,
tweets.
Like, must be. Wasn't her mom, like, kind of homophobic?
Yeah, I think so. And then her family had to do, like, a whole PR push, like, on social media to be like, love is love. Like, we love everyone. And, like, and it's just, like, no.
That's literally what, like, the Westbrook Baptist Church people say. They're like, oh, we make these signs because we love them.
So, yeah, I think that, like, I think that Brittany has, like, unexplored sexuality that
for sure.
TBD,
where
if
else
that
would
will
she
ever,
that? She's
if that
so
will
new
ever
here.
Come to light.
Yeah. But it's just really strange that the concept of, like, Ariana and Lala and then Brittany and Kristen is, like, hot or, like, overlooked, whereas, mm-hmm. like, when the men cheat, it's a whole season.
Yeah.
A whole season dedicated to just destroying them.
Yeah.
It's genuinely kind of odd.
It is odd. James tears up his letter, and then Tom Schwartz comes over with that horrific outfit.
That was the shirt. That was the raglan.
Yeah. That was
disgusting.
The one.
Yeah.
Where I was like, what is wrong? You look like a Miami, like, drug addict.
He looked like he was trying to dress like Sandoval for a second.
He was.
And what was up with his hair? Like, that's when I was like, you're on opiates.
Yeah.
Like, his hair literally looked like he just, like, ran a hand of, like, grease through it and then, like, didn't care where it landed.
For me, it was, like, the dark circles and then that outfit. And I was just like, something is not right.
Yeah. Something
also,
is amiss.
Why are you coming over? Like, I don't love, like, the Toms getting, like, congratulated for all their, like, success with this restaurant when they've literally done nothing. Like,
yeah.
And they didn't build it. Like,
each.
Nick Alain came in, built the whole thing, told them not to come until it was over because they're so annoying. They own 2.5% each, so a combined 5%. They, like, they made 3 cocktails on the cocktail menu. Like, they're just lucky to have been, like, put on the, like, have their names and picture in this, like, venue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, they're so unprofessional. I still think back to, like, last season, whenever they both showed up just, like, 3 hours late and hungover to, like, a business meeting that was solidifying.
And when
their
they went
restaurant.
To Vegas to celebrate going to one business meeting.
Yeah.
And also, Lisa is sketchy. Her being, like, it flashes to her and she's like, they're asking for like a deal memo, like to a contract. And she's like, I don't like anything in writing. Like, I want to just do a handshake. It's like, if anyone ever says that to you, that is
run.
A red flag.
Run.
Do not get in business with them.
I tell that to everyone. If you don't have a contract, you don't have a job.
Yeah. If you don't have a contract and if someone is dragging their feet, like, on getting you, like, a deal in writing, that means that they are a sketchy person. They're going to fuck you over.
Yeah. And for Lisa, it doesn't matter because without the term sheet, she could have at any point been like, oh, you've acted unprofessionally. You're out. And we still get to use your namesake.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole goal.
And they could never even, like, even if they wanted to, they don't have the resources to, like, fight her in court. Also, they're not going to because the power structure of that show is like, okay, well, you want to turn on me, then you can be off the show forever.
Yeah, I would never work in their favor.
Yeah. And so she basically is like, we're watching her, like, screw them over and then them get congratulated for, like, all the work they've done. It's so backwards.
Yeah, they've done nothing.
They've done absolutely
literally nothing. They're just, like, working in, like, a large clock.
Also,
sometimes.
Yeah, like, a large clock that someone brought to my attention is backwards. Goes backwards.
For real?
Yeah. So when you're looking at it, you're supposed to, like, imagine that you're in the clock. Like, you're just, like, a cog in the machine. Like, we all are. It's
so
very poetic.
Corny.
And, like, Nick Alain might be a genius after all for that move. But, like...
Like, why so many clocks? Is this the steampunk aesthetic of this?
It's the steampunk aesthetic. And I also just think, like, I'm a huge TomTom fan. So I feel like it's, like, just a reminder of the passage of time and, like, all of our lives. Like, time is just, like, ticking away.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. But now that I've felt the buttery, soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go, because MeUndies are all I reach for. I received the feel-free lace high-waisted brief from MeUndies, and I have to say, I love to sleep in a high-waisted brief, and I also like to wear briefs under dresses. And let me tell you a thing or two about these briefs. They were super comfortable. I love the fabric, and I feel like they will be the perfect accompaniment to a pair of pajamas or an extra large t-shirt. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear. MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
I can't wait to later get into like the things that like Katie said about like how excited she is.
Lisa may be a bad person. I think based on that contract thing, I got like the skeeziest feeling.
I mean, she's kind of an American oligarch.
Yeah.
She really is. Like I was explaining to my boyfriend how, you know, a lot of these housewives live in like pretty like within their means. They don't have a lot. They've done one cool thing. They're married to one cool person, like maybe.
Yeah.
Lisa has built like an empire that's allowed her to have like a moat around her house with like swans in it. She has so many businesses at her control. And, like, her husband is, like, pretty sketchy.
They come from dubious beginnings, I think.
Yeah.
And,
for
like,
them to, like, bring over the, like, British thing and just start, like, booming corporations here, like, they've done some sketchy things.
Yeah.
She is, like, the true definition of, like, new money, like, American oligarch.
Mm-hmm. I need like a whole podcast that's devoted just to like investigating their past, like an explosive investigation into like their business dealings and how they like come up.
Like, find stuff about Lisa, and there's not a lot.
Because she's like unscrupulous. Like someone that is doing that to her own employees and like very much putting them in like a bad position, yeah, like business wise. And then did you hear that like Nene came forward and said like she, yeah, originally wanted to buy Pump and Lisa told her don't do it, it's like a shitty building,
yeah,
and then immediately went and bought that. It.
Yeah.
She's sketchy.
Yeah. A snake. I mean, I know she's ruthless. I don't exactly blame her, but I do.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, yeah, in this world, but also I'm just like, where's the lie?
Yeah.
Yeah. James starts crying about girls' night being taken over by Katie.
He throws tantrums.
I feel bad for him, too, because Katie, yeah, is just doing that to fuck with him. And he does have,
everyone,
like, a really
fuck with him,
like, major moment where he's like, is it helping Katie's bank? No. Is it affecting mine? Yes. Which is, yeah, like the whole point of her doing that in the first place is to just like power flex over him.
Yeah. I mean, I've never, my God, with all the corrupt places I've worked, like men commenting on my appearance or my relationships or just like any of the number of things like an asshole coworker could say to you is just like kind of part of life.
Yeah.
And avoiding them is also part of life. Like rising above that is part of success, like personal success at least. It feels just like very vindictive.
It's vindictive, and it's also like she, it's weird to make the negative things that people have said about you part of your like brand and identity.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that it is, it just to me, it's like more of a weakness to be like, I'm this affected by what he said.
That I'm now going to go out of my way to just like
destroy him.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't, she's not losing anything. Like,
no.
She's in on that 2.5% Tom Dom.
She's married to it. So she's like cashing the checks and they go into some sort of mutual bank account.
Yeah.
And then also it's like, okay, so what? Like someone called, said your shorts were unflattering. Like get the fuck over it.
Yeah. I wrote down two things about that particular scene that I thought were funny. The one was like, I love when Katie and Schwartz specifically will use like one big word to kind of like confuse either Raquel or James or anyone else like in the vicinity. She was doing it with Billy when they were yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And I hate people that use like big words. I just like, we're not in high school. We're not trying to like impress anyone on our MySpace pages, which like Katie should know a lot about.
Yeah.
I hate when people use big words to try to kind of like confuse and then also like build themselves up as like the person that's like correct here. And whenever Tom was like, you're being contentious, and James was like, I'm not being contentious. I was like, James doesn't know what that means. That's not fair.
Yeah.
That's not fair. And then Raquel said the funniest thing whenever James like stormed off, and she goes, I think he thinks he's resolved with it.
Oh, Raquel.
With it, like it just like I think
she never
think he thinks it's resolved.
Yeah,
he's resolved with it.
Raquel's like constantly just like malfunctioning.
Yeah, she's glitching.
Yeah, I love too when she just looks at James, she goes, babe.
Yeah,
yeah.
And whenever she was just like kind of complaining about the Lala thing, like the fact that she brought her dog into it as like a victim selling point was like,
I'm just gonna sit with Graham.
I'm just supposed to sit with Graham. And it like cuts over to like another dead dog. Like the amount of like dead dog like cut scenes in this episode were
so many.
Really funny.
The true victims. Sheena and Lala get together for coffee, and their coffee orders revealed more about them than like I ever knew.
First of all, I forget what they ordered, so please remind me.
Sheena orders a macchiato, and then Lala orders a vanilla latte, and I just realized like these girls are like full fatty coffee drinker kind of girls. Yeah. Like they're not like healthy people.
No.
And like the if you are like branding yourself as, I think they very much have leaned into this like fitness lifestyle, like working out all the time. Yeah. Like trying to be like eating healthy. This just like tore it all down.
Yeah.
You don't get a vanilla latte.
No, I mean, ever. Not if you're trying to not look if you're like Lala.
Yeah. And so I was like, wait, this is not adding up. And then Sheena had like, she recently like Instagrammed a photo of her fridge and was like, I love having a full fridge. Hee hee hee.
Is and it then, just like kale or like
no,
soda?
It was.
What was it?
Shocking. It was like those Bai drinks, like the BAI.
Stop.
It was a million of those. Capri
those are
Sun.
Not highbrow.
No, Capri Sun. Capri Gatorade. Sun. Then it was cheese, string cheese, and like yogurt. It was all dairy and sugar drinks. And I was like, you have terrified me to my core. I no longer trust a single thing you say.
I'm shocked that she isn't aware of like sugar being the enemy of everything. If you're consuming beverages with sugar in them, you're adding, it's you're literally just drinking calories that
yeah.
like, do not matter.
Like you're, you don't get
like,
it.
40 grams of sugar per like Capri Sun pouch, like that's insane.
Like she just doesn't understand. I was like, this is not the fridge of a healthy person, either mentally or physically. I was yeah. like, this has changed everything. And then
that's
their
appalling.
Coffee orders
it.
On top of that, I was like, no.
Sheena also like flirting with like the dude
the
behind. She was like, have you ever been a Cabana boy? Did you
and
hear that?
Like, yeah, and he's like, what?
He just like doesn't respond. And she's like laughing to herself.
She's like, no, Cabana Boy. And he's like, what? And like, she just makes everyone supremely uncomfortable. Sheena like sexually harasses people.
Yeah, she does. She has absolutely no boundaries with anybody. She's the most annoying. Like, I'm so tired of her. And I thought that like, you see a lot of character growth with some of these people, whether it's professional or like literal. Like, I feel like Stassi has a lot of character growth. She's dating someone very healthy for her that like puts up with like her clear bipolar personality disorder,
which they fully have like borderline. A cute relationship. Yeah, she's really like could turn on a moment's notice.
Yeah, and like that's what I relate to as like someone with borderline personality disorder. I see that in her and I'm like, something, like, we don't know like what's happened to Stassi.
Yeah,
we don't know what's happened in her past, and like the way she acts, her fear of abandonment is like very like rooted probably in something like heavily traumatic.
Yeah.
So like I like feel for her on that level, and I also like commend her for like her ability to like sit in front of Bo and be like, I don't know what's wrong with me and like I need help. Bo was also so patient.
Bo, like, they, I like stan their relationship. Like, I'm in.
I do.
I fully like, I'm so invested. Happy for her. I want it to like, I want to see it through to like marriage, kids.
Same.
Like, I want it to work.
Patrick just like, no.
Patrick was both like the best and worst thing that ever happened to her, because I feel like he was, he's awful. Like, I'm sad for her that she had to be in a relationship with him for 4 years, which is literally like 3 years and 364 days too long.
Yeah.
But like, he also made her sympathetic.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of changed and, like, shifted the view of her, which, well, I don't know if she would have
really.
Well, she finally
got, like, a taste of, like, what she'd been doing. I mean, you've heard about, like, her. What was it? She, like, took, like a tennis racket to, like, Jax once. Like,
she broke Jax's nose.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah. There are a lot of stories about that. And I think that, I mean, I'm just, like, spitballing, but I really think that, like, she's been through more than she lets on, and that, like, her behaviors are, like, so rooted in that. And also, like, her mom is insane. Like, her mom is so fucked up that, like, Stassi, by default, is fucked up. So I like seeing her character growth. However, like, going back to what we were talking about, there is just, like, no growth with Sheena. Like, she continues to be the most delusional person on the cast.
Yeah.
And, like, her, like, literally sitting there being like, I'm a single woman. I just, like, love what's going on right now. And it's like, no, you don't. And that's also, like, not...
You're also not single. Like, this... You are with this
you're
person.
You're dating someone.
If you talk about a person 24/7 and you're fucking them and hanging out with them all the time, you're not single. So, like, just you saying that doesn't fool everyone into thinking that, like... You are single, but she truly thinks, like, if I just say it, then it's true, even though, like, my actions don't support any
of
this.
She drives me crazy.
I kind of love it. I like her just, like, stagnating. It's like, we know we can depend on one thing in this world, which is that Sheena will always be just, like, completely herself.
Yeah.
And just, like, a delusional diva.
Yeah, she's completely delusional, especially with, like, her new acting career. And then her, like, weird realization that... I don't know. Whenever Lala was like, you're never going to like make the other girls happy.
When you have to sit down, like, it's like Sheena doesn't understand that after what, 7 years, like, these people don't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
They've never wanted to be your friend. You've always had some sort of insecurity around them. They bring out like the worst sides of your, like, I'm sure like whatever she goes through internally when she has to hang out with them is like so anxiety inducing. And it's like anyone else would just put two and two together and be like, wow, I just shouldn't be around these people anymore. Strive to be friends with them. Like, I'll branch out and make new friends and like get some new relationships around people that don't make me feel like shit.
Yeah.
Sheena does not learn that and just continually strives to like be in the group.
She only functions in that zone.
And that's when you truly, have Lala sitting down with you, which is someone that came in the kind of the similar way where everyone talked shit about her. No one like wanted to be her friend. Now she's in it telling you that you will never, ever get to be friends with these people. It's like, Sheena, how much like pain and disappointment do you need to go through in order to like learn a very basic lesson about life?
I think she needs to learn so much about herself. One, I think my biggest pet peeve with people in general is that like Sheena has no conviction.
No.
She has absolutely no idea what she believes in, what she stands for, what she cares about. And I mean, it's very like obvious like why people don't like her.
Yeah.
She doesn't, I mean, she's never going to stand up for anything.
Sheena needs to go on like a silent retreat.
Yeah.
And like for like months.
Yeah.
Go to like Nepal or yeah. something and live in a monastery and like fully just like not speak for 60 days and do like an internal, like take stock of everything and then like come out. Yeah. And different person.
She needs to do like a full Alanis Morissette in like 1998.
Yeah.
And come back and like write thank you.
She needs to cut off all her hair.
Yeah.
And then, yes, and please. Then like just be stripped down to nothing in order to like figure out who she truly is.
The fact that Sheena hasn't shaved her head yet is shocking to me, but like I need her to.
I know.
Or at least like,
or at least
like
just Sheena a boy with a cut. Pixie. Yeah, like a pixie.
Would be, I would delight in that.
Powerful.
Yeah. That would be a power move to literally everyone if she just switched up.
If Sheena, like in between seasons, decided to leave and go on like a eat, pray, love, discovery, silent retreat journey.
I'd be proud of her.
Then came back with like short hair and was so zen and just like really self-aware and in tune with the universe. Yeah. Think of how amazing that would be to watch
she
play
needs
out.
That.
Katie would flip her shit.
Yeah.
Like she wouldn't be able to handle like Sheena's like newfound sense of like self.
The producers need to like egg her on to do something like this or pay for it.
Pay for it. It's not that expensive. Like yoga retreats are not that expensive.
Sheena is like a classic like sex and love addict. Mm-hmm. Like I think like she really needs to get like rehabilitated for it.
She also needs to like have a journey of self-discovery because she doesn't have orgasms and never masturbates.
It's bizarre. She doesn't know what she likes. I don't think she has any hobbies except like curating her like weird closet that's like a room.
Yeah.
And like hanging posters of like Marilyn Monroe
mm-hmm.
and Audrey Hepburn. It's just like, I just like...
And like the weird metal things on the wall that like, are like meaningless.
She needs to like get into like punk heavily.
Yeah.
Punk and grunge and like alternative 90s and then just go like full monk.
Yeah. I'm in.
I would love to see that for her.
I need like everyone to really go for it next season because this season has been so dead. Ew. She says she just like hanged. She's like, I love just like a hang and bang, which like
made
same, but I also am like gross. Don't say that, Sheena. Lala is taking all the girls on a thank you private jet trip to Solvang, which feels like a really random place to go.
It's random and it's also like so low effort.
And also it's like she's taking them on a trip to say thanks for being there for me when my father passed away, which is like any human with a soul that considers themselves like a friend, it's like would be there for you in this situation. Like that's not something you have to like thank people for.
I think Lala, in seeing her breakdown in like previous seasons and previous episodes, thinks that she needs to award people through like what she has monetarily so that they'll like her and continue liking her, which I think is really sad.
Yeah.
And I used to kind of be like that, like in my early 20s when like I had my like daddy's credit card and could like pay for everyone at the bar.
Totally. But it's a sign of like, it's a sign of weakness, not strength.
It's a huge sign of insecurity that these people wouldn't want to hang out with you if you didn't have what you have. And I feel like now that she has all of this stuff, that's probably a big fear of hers.
Oh yeah. And I remember like the moment that I saw them like on Instagram stories, like on the PJ, and I was like, oh, this is the game we're playing now where like once it's extended to you and you get to take part in it, we're all friends. But then it's also just made me sad for Lala. Cause I was like, you've set the bar that like they are going to be part of this. And this is the only reason that they're hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Because if you did not have a connection to like a man who is considered powerful in Hollywood, who had all these perks, they would still be calling you like a homewrecking whore.
Yeah, 100%. People switch up real fast when you get a private jet.
Yeah.
Access to a private jet, at least.
Show everyone, if you want to see who your true friends are,
get a private jet.
Get a private jet and then see who comes running.
Yeah.
Jax is like bartending on his birthday, which like lol as if.
Yeah. And Brittany like runs up to him and is like, baby.
She's like, happy birthday. I love you. And then like makes him kiss her.
I can't like her baby voice to him when I'm like, how do you not resent this man so much that like looking at him like makes you sick?
Maybe she has some long con like Gone Girl type plan where she like years from now is going to destroy his life.
I hope so.
Because, like, I think about him and Faith all the time. Like, that's always on the back of my mind. And the fact that there's a recording out there of him.
It's sick.
Saying, like, disgust, vile shit that was so bad that they could never air it. Like, how do you get over that? Like, that would be
hearing
the end.
That at a party.
Yeah.
Where all your friends are like, this is that. Where we're going to decide to show this to her. On top of that, like, the brutality of, like, they were fucking, like, in front of, like, a sleeping old woman.
Yeah.
That.
The woman that was on her deathbed.
That is so, to me, just, like, first of all, just trash, but also irredeemable. Like, that on top of.
Then.
This bitch recorded it. Like, when. First of all, how did he not kind of like catch on to like maybe I shouldn't be telling Faith this?
No, he's an idiot though.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, I just like the recording it is so fucking low that like something like that happening where it's like there is a recording of my boyfriend saying that like I'm trash, I'm a hillbilly, like he doesn't want to marry me, he's never going
to. Saying that he's like over me, that I'm not hot to him anymore.
Yeah, that they don't have sex.
I would be like, you never talk to me again and I'm calling the police if I ever see you.
She handled it better than I would. I would have gone like full Stassi, started throwing anything breakable.
I would have been like, you're out. Get the fuck out of this apartment. I would have sued him.
Yeah. This is where I'm just like, a lot of these women may be crazy, but like the things that Jax does warrant like snapping and breaking his nose.
Yeah.
I just like, for whatever like Stassi went through that like we didn't see with like her years long relationship with this asshole, like when he was younger and worse, I just like, I cannot imagine like what it would be like to be at a party. And, like, I thought that, like, for Brittany, it was kind of a power move to be like, no, everyone's going to listen to this.
Yeah.
Because she's so meek. And I was like, no, like, yeah, like, you're right. Like, I would put him on blast like that. I would make sure everyone knew.
But then I would leave that relationship.
Yeah, I would never go back.
And it's not, I don't like being told that it's, like, a sign of strength and true love you stayed. Because that's
not.
Just,
there
like,
is always
false.
Going to be hidden resentments. And, like, he's not going to change.
No.
Like, Reiki isn't going to change Jax Taylor.
No, and someone dying is not going to change anything. That has actually nothing to do with you when someone dies. That has everything to do with their life ending.
And the people questioning that aren't wrong, and I feel like they're being vilified as like, oh, they're like anti-Jax and Brittany who are like the saviors of the season or something. But like they're right. Like once that kind of like shock wears off, and he doesn't feel, you know, like when someone close to you dies, you kind of feel like, oh my God, like I've been doing this all wrong. I have to get my life back on track. But like that is a grieving process and it wanes.
Yeah.
He's going to cheat on you again. Give it 2 years tops.
Less. I've had on good authority that he already has cheated on her.
I believe you 100%.
Yeah.
I believe that.
There's nothing that's changing and I need this like facade to be broken.
Yeah.
I now need like
I wanted
next
her to
season.
Go like full like rogue, like I'm gonna fuck this person up.
Yeah. Like next season I hope that it's like a repeat of season 5.
Yeah.
Even though that was painful to watch and honestly like probably hurt a lot more people like that were viewing it than it helped them.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Yeah, me too.
Girls' night is my nightmare. There's nothing that looks fun about that.
No, and like everything Sheena does is so exaggerated to me, like the definition of extra. And whenever I catch her, like in the beginning of like the whenever they're doing the whole song and dance thing and she just like whips around, it's so dramatic. But like seeing her do that on like the bar where she's literally just like going like this,
like holding a bottle of alcohol and then like
so
pouring it down people's throat. Yeah, it, like, reminds me of, like, when I was in college in Chicago and I would go to these, like, really, like, bro-y bars and there would always be, like, hot girls, like, dancing on the bar, like, pouring drinks down your throat. It's, like, college-style
partying.
Yeah, they,
like, think their
partying.
Life is, like, a movie. Like, that's what Sheena lives by. Like, she thinks that she is living in, like, Coyote Ugly.
Yeah.
For, like, a brief moment.
This is her Coyote Ugly
it
moment.
It is.
Tom Schwartz narcs out James to Katie. Like, immediately goes. And then I was like, oh, Schwartz, you have no spine. Like, you're there to spy and then report back.
Well, he also narcs out and then says, like, oh, but, like, I feel sorry for the guy. And it's like, he's another person that's so spineless. He has no conviction.
Yeah.
And like, he has, like, yeah. And the thing is, like, he has a wife. So, like, kind of no matter what, like, he should be at least trying to back his wife up, but like he can't. Like even when he was visiting James at like the booth and was like making a joke basically about how James called her fat by being like, Katie isn't fat, she's like sexy and voluptuous. And the way he said it was like,
no, you think she's fat too, but you're trying to like make it okay.
And he was trying to be, it was really obvious he was trying to be cool with James and not offend him.
Yeah.
Which is like, first of all, Katie's not fat. She's objectively
never been fat a day in
her
life.
She's never been fat.
No. None of these people have been fat.
But the way that like Schwartz kind of plays sides is like really annoying.
But like talk about resentments. Like I feel like everything he does, like even these little things are microaggressions against Katie because he knows in the back of his mind that it pisses her off that he even would entertain the thought of like speaking to James.
Yeah.
And then he tries to kind of play it off as like, oh, he's a peacemaker and it's not a big deal and he actually does have her back, but he really doesn't have her back the whole way. And I think that this is his way of like revenge on her for being like,
I think so too.
Controlling.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is going to build over years and years and years. But like, this is the kind of relationship you're in where it's
so
just like
gross and toxic.
Yeah.
On top of that, I do think that he feels like, I think he has a really soft spot for James in a way that Sandoval doesn't. Cause I feel like he and Sandoval kind of connect through like terrible music, first of all. But with Schwartz, it's more like just abject alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sees a lot of like his own terrible behaviors when he's blacked out that James exhibits.
Yeah.
So naturally he feels sorry for him.
And he's like been through the same kind of struggles. So it's like,
yeah, I mean, he's been caught like cheating a million times. I don't know why anyone's acting like holier than thou about James.
Yeah. Jax and Brittany go to a really shitty seafood place to like celebrate his birthday. And Jax like loves bad. He loves like shitty,
the neon
bad
sign that just
seafood.
Says lobsters and beer.
Yeah. And it was like, crabs crossing or some there was some other like quirky sign.
Brittany just like loves to eat like crawdads.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
She loves it. They love that place, which actually I've perused like Yelp reviews of like hot and juicy crawfish that's like next to that Target on like Santa Monica and La Brea. They love it there. But then I read Yelp reviews and it's actually like people really live for it, like it has good ones. So I don't know what the truth is because I still haven't been there, but they like love just like a mall seafood moment.
Yeah, they're mall people.
Yeah,
but also like the fact that they brought up their like fake beer cheese, like again they were like, this is the place.
He's like, we should really do something with like seafood and the beer cheese.
Yeah, they were like, this would be a great place to get our beer cheese in.
This would be a great place to like poison people with our shitty
beer cheese.
His sister calls him and he gets emotional. And he says that every year his mom will call him on his birthday and like recount the story of his birth. But this year she just called him and was like, happy birthday, you piece of shit.
What I think is really weird is that he kind of invented this narrative that his mom called him and said happy birthday, but then later on
he
took
said
it back.
That she didn't call him.
Yeah.
So
do you think he
lying.
Was lying in the beginning and that she didn't call, or that she did call and he wants sympathy?
I think she did call and he wants sympathy. So he's saying now to Lisa that she didn't call.
I think so too.
And also in his like confessional talking head, he's stopped up, which is, I'm just like, okay, you're like clearly doing coke again.
Yeah,
like 100%. I'm now on like, I'm on coke watch for him and Brittany because they get
Brittany
stopped
so
up every
congested.
Once in a while. I think it's blow.
She has a permanent sinus infection.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was really interesting was that a couple episodes back, he actually did like briefly talk about his beef with his mom because he apparently wasn't made aware of how bad the cancer was until his father was like about to die. And now he I think acted out at his mom and was probably like, knowing Jax, like extremely aggressive. And now like sitting there being like, I don't know why she's so mad at me.
And he says in this episode that he's not okay with the way his dad's cancer was handled, which is very vague. And like,
I think that in my like
I feel like it's like I've not had an experience of like having a parent get sick like this, so like I don't know what it's like to go through that, and I'm sure that it's like awful and there's so many feelings around that kind of loss. But also it's like, it just it seems like it's one of those things where it's like there's never going to be like when someone is struck with like terminal illness, like there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And so it seems very Jax to have like a lot of like unresolved anger about that and like need to spew it out at someone.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, one theory of mine is that Jax was either not told how bad it was until the last minute, or that, you know, it could be possible that his dad was tired of like being treated and was just like, I'm fine.
We're done.
Like, yeah. If it's time for me to go, it's time for me to go. And I feel like a lot of resentment can come from that too.
Mm-hmm.
I've had like relatives die of cancer. And with that, it's kind of, I mean, it's just like, it's no, you can be as angry as you want, but I think it's just like a total waste of time to like alienate your biggest fan probably, who is like Dax's mom. And he acted very, that was like one thing, like my boyfriend doesn't really pay attention whenever I'm watching it, but he was like kind of like eyeing the TV screen and being like, he's being really selfish.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he absolutely is.
He's like, being insane.
And for Lisa to be like, your mom should call you on your birthday. And I'm just like, well, what did Jax say to her? Because like, we know how Jax handles people when he's angry.
He's volatile.
Yeah, he goes on like a coke binge and like flicks people off and like screams at them. Like, that's not something that like I would call you for, even if you were my son.
Yeah. And like, he, like, his mom suffered like a deep dark loss.
That was
as
her
well.
Husband.
So like, why?
And he's
are
like,
you...
I'm the baby.
Yeah.
And just like, get over yourself.
It's classic
get over
Jax.
Yourself or you're going to lose your mom too.
Yeah. There's no AC at Tom Tom, and Sandoval is flipping out, and he doesn't know the address of his own restaurant.
That was something I wrote down. I was literally like, this is so funny that he is like, what's the address, Lisa? Like, what's the address? And then, like, Schwartz answers from, like, the toilet.
Yeah. It was just like, okay, no wonder you guys own 2.5% each.
Yeah.
Lisa is trying to monitor people who can come to the party. And she says that Jax can come just because it's his first birthday without his dad. Lisa's savage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where she says that Kristen cannot come, which was like, that was a move.
Yeah. No, it was. For Stassi to be forgiven and Kristen to not be, first of all, Stassi has a lot more to offer. And I think that that's actually the thing.
Yeah. And Stassi's more of a star. Like,
yeah,
she definitely is like, I mean, Kristen has a lot of emotional issues, I think. And
she
I think
also
that
has, like,
she's
big,
someone,
like, loser energy.
Yeah, she does. And she's like kind of a tragic character.
Yeah, and she's a very bad sport.
And she's negative. And like, she also, though, got like, I think that she didn't really understand what she was signing up for. Like, when she started Vanderpump Rules, like, she saw like an opportunity to like be on a show, and like, she wanted to be an actor and blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't have like, Stassi at least knows how to give good TV.
Yeah.
And even if she's like being a total psychotic bitch, you still are kind of like enthralled by her.
Yeah.
Kristen's more of an acquired taste, where you either are like, love watching a train wreck, like I love it, so I love Kristen, or you're just like, oh my god, this is like too dark and too much for me, like I can't fuck with her.
It's not too dark for me.
Yeah.
I love watching it. I just like, I get why she is like the least favored among all of them, and will probably never be forgiven because she has nothing to offer,
and she never has ever tried to like humble herself to Lisa.
No.
And Lisa won't accept that.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what, like, you have to play the game.
Yeah.
And
but Kristen also, like, is not aware of how she comes off on television. Like, she doesn't have, like, she's not, like, self-possessed enough to, like, not, like, in that scene where all the moms go out to dinner and she, like, is shit-talking Stassi, it's like, okay, well, you hate Stassi. Like, this is very clear now. And,
yeah,
like, the dynamics of your friendship are, like...
She resents Stassi's success.
Yeah.
So much. And then, like, for Stassi's mom to be like, if my daughter could be
half
the
woman
you
are.
And I'm literally like, who are you talking about? Like, who, Kristen?
Two...
You're kidding.
Deludenoids, like...
Yeah.
Talking.
The worst talking head I've ever seen was whenever Kristen like physically got up from her chair and started dancing like around the room about getting James fired.
That's another moment
it has been
where it's
like 6 fucking years.
Get over it, Dodie.
He was 22 years old.
Yeah. Like
22 years old.
This is a bad look for you. And if you were smart and knew how to play the game, like you would understand that and try and like manipulate the viewers to your advantage, but she's don't know what you're doing. And that's what I love. But I also am just like, so God, cringy. Kristen, like, will you ever get it? And the answer is no.
No, she's just as delusional as Sheena.
She's getting ready for that Daily Mail party and Carter is not invited. And then he does that creepy sing-song voice that he did last season.
I hate it so much. I hate it. So uncomfortable.
I hate
What was the last time? He did it whenever that guy, he was like, why was that guy?
Stories, they be changing.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're a serial killer. Like, you are not to be trusted.
Like, to approach, like your girlfriend with that whenever you want to ask her if she's, like, potentially cheated on you is, like, the creepiest.
Yeah. And then using the dog, like, dancing it around and being like, I guess I'm not cool enough to be invited.
It's I can't
like,
stand him.
You're so angry.
I really can't stand him. And I wish I knew more about their relationship because I can't imagine it not being just as toxic as all of her previous ones.
It's definitely psychotic. And, like, I feel like that was the only smart move that she's made is, like, keeping that relationship pretty much off camera 24/7 because
it needs to be.
It made you think. It made me think, at least, that she had, like, kind of rehabbed herself a little bit or, like, had gotten to a much more chill place.
But I don't think so.
No. And Kristen gets a text that she's disinvited from the party. And then later on, it just cuts to her crying in her bed eating pasta.
Yeah. Laying down eating pasta, which is a feat.
Fully horizontal eating is asking to die. And then also add crying. Like, I can't eat when I cry.
No.
Like that I was so crying immediately takes away my hunger.
And then her dog's like jump on the bed and she's like, at least someone likes me. And I'm kind of like, this is how you feel. First of all, she's getting a taste of her own medicine because she strategically got James pretty much banned and uninvited from everything. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, you're missing out on like a Daily Mail party. And she was like, I got them flowers. Like those flowers were like maybe $15.
They were like flowers from Whole Foods.
And like your ex-boyfriend, like you guys might be cool, but he's not like a huge fan.
No.
So it's not like he's like, oh, like he like said in like his talking head, he was like, of course I wanted Kristen to come. But I'm just like, did either of you actually, or were you just being nice?
I think it's always just like assumed that she will come because she's part of the group. But then this was like a flex. It was like, you're not. I think Lisa lives for any sort of moment that she can make that dig and draw a line in the sand with Kristen.
Power.
Yeah, it's a power move. Because there was all that, like all the rumors early on the season that Kristen was like, not, she was going to be bumped down to friend of and all that shit. And I feel like that was probably around this time too.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I haven't gotten like a good look at like a side-by-side, but I do think they put her like further back in like the beginning sequence where like she's now like kind of like back with like James, where like the losers hang out, like where like Raquel is.
Yeah.
She used to have a front row seat.
She did, and not anymore.
Yeah, I wonder like how that much must feel like filming that every year and then like getting further and further pushed to the back until you're just like no longer in it.
Yeah.
It's like a weird yearbook photo.
What do you have to do though? Like, she's not willing to do necessarily what it takes to get like back in the front fold, which would really be like apologizing to Lisa and trying to like make nice, and then I don't know what else she could do. Like, I feel like she's already dug her own grave.
Yeah, and she's never going to actually authentically apologize. She's also someone that doesn't know how to authentically apologize for anything.
Yeah.
And
it's always someone else's fault.
In Lisa's defense, she was an absolute trash employee.
Yeah.
Causing so much drama. Just
caused drama
at people.
And then would just like go into the alley and cry and smoke and drink during her work hours.
Yeah, it was insane. I think that one interesting thing you could do is like take like every shot of like their yearbook photos and like have them like ranked and see like who is like moving, because it's kind of like Stalin-esque in a way where it's just like people moving in and out of favor politically with like Lisa, who will always be front and center, but like at one point Stassi was kind of in the back
and but so now it's, like,
making
Katie
like a little map
is
of,
in
like,
the front
and making like a little map of like who has been like, you know, deduced to like the back and who's been giving like brownie points so they can come back up to the front. I feel like that over like the course of like the last like 6 years would be really interesting.
Yeah. And I think Katie, she doesn't do a lot that's great on this show, but what she has done really well is like connect herself to Lisa in such a way that she will never get fired off of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, never. That is like someone, I feel like Katie's like a second daughter.
Yeah. Like Lisa cares for her so much.
Yeah.
And like, that's the smartest thing Katie's ever done.
Yeah.
Because it ensures her and Schwartz's position on the show for all of eternity.
Yeah. Even when Schwartz is just incompetent.
James has to DJ in a small room.
This cracked me up and so much. He's sitting on toilet paper rolls.
Sitting on toilet paper rolls with that fan that he like can't get to just turn on him. So he's kind of like making his head like follow the fan at one point. He's sweating. And then every other song, he like runs out into that little like cubby hole and dances.
To like kind of pretend he might be DJing there.
Yeah.
Where like you can't like see like the equipment, but like he's there.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone was actually like, oh, he's like in a closet.
Yeah.
Like he's a storage closet.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. That was like a moment where I was thinking back of like all the jobs I've had where people have glamorized them as like, oh my God, you work here. Oh my God, you work here. And then like you see like the actual like what it is. And it's so tragic.
You're just like sweating profusely. In a closet next to a security camera.
And you're not allowed to mingle or talk to anybody.
No.
Unless they come to you like Jax did.
Yeah. Peter, he's the temporary TomTom manager. Did you see that little like cry on? I feel bad for Peter.
Same.
The party gets underway and all the girls arrive and like make a huge deal out of like how insanely beautiful this restaurant is. And it's just like, have you guys never been to a museum or like seen any true beauty in your lives? Like, I don't think they have.
And they're congratulating the designer and they're like crying.
Brittany goes, I've got chill bumps. Which
that cracked me up. That absolutely cracked me up. I've never heard that before. I Googled it.
Do people like, call it chill bumps?
I guess like in Kentucky, maybe.
That's like a saying. Maybe. She just didn't understand like goosebumps versus like chills and just merged them into chill bumps.
It seems like a colloquialism at best or just something she made up.
I'm nervous. Katie says, this is going to be where all of us hang out forever.
This cracked me up. Okay, this part specifically cracked me up because it feels like when, you know, like how teenagers on like social media will be like, this is going to be the best summer of our lives. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And they're just like, this is it, guys. Like, this is it. Like, we're never going to forget this summer. And it's like summer of 2009, like stand up. You can still like find like those like old quotes, like you put in like your buddy profile and shit. And like, she starts like naming off. She was like, this is our Central Perk. And then she named two other things. And I was like, where is like the obvious like St. Elmo's fire reference, which like she's old enough to get. But like, of course, like she's never seen it probably. No, but
she's
like,
going for like the most basic bottom be, of the barrel.
Your Central Perk, Tom Tom. I just like, who do you guys think you, the cast of Friends? I just like, what?
Their opinion of themselves has gotten to be like really inflated at this point. And I think that it comes with, it's like this false sense of confidence that comes with like money and like fame and notoriety. And like, but it's rooted in, it's not rooted in anything like real.
Yeah. I mean, they have such a blinkered world view of like what's actually happening. And when she was like, this is where we're going to be hanging out every day for the rest of our lives. I was like, you really think you're in a movie? We're going to come in and people are going to give you free cocktails and you and all your friends are going to sit here every day because your husband's name, which could be honestly like attributed to so many other things. If they decided to kick them out, who owns 2.5% of this entire thing is like, what? Like, what are you thinking?
Nothing.
You're
going to
come in
up
here and like do what? Like work from here? Like bring your laptop in? It was like a sense of like they own the place. It was really funny and absurd.
Stassi wears a jumpsuit that she must have in every single color of the rainbow. She does wear that jumpsuit. I'm so confused by it.
I felt the same way when I saw like Bo,
he's like steaming it for her, which is really like, sweet.
It is really sweet. But I've recognized that jumpsuit. She has it in white. I know that.
She has it in red, I'm pretty sure. She sometimes lends it to Kristen, and Kristen wears
it. Where's it from?
I think it's like a shitty Revolve like jumpsuit or something.
Yeah, that you can just buy like a million in different colors.
Yeah, like it's like $100 or like you know, like $78.
Maybe she'll go over that in her book as like, you know, the true basic thing is buying literally the same thing in multiple colors.
And that same thing is just a jumpsuit. Yeah. Not even a dress.
A regular jumpsuit.
I hope that she does address that in like the chapter next to the pug chapter.
The pug chapter. I need to see it.
Stassi says that she could never come up with this beautiful of a place in her dreams. Direct quote. In regards to Tom Tom.
Was this when she was talking to Lala at like
I think
table?
So, yeah.
She does this thing with her hands that like I know what I'm talking about. She goes like this.
Oh,
with, like,
yeah.
Hands where she's like, it's a really weird.
Her gesticulation hand. Where she's like,
this is the best group.
Yeah.
What did she say? She basically did the this is the summer of our lives thing where she was like, we're the best group of messed up motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Ever. And Lala just goes like, she goes like, yeah. Lala's just like not, she's like, I'm not like, this isn't my group. Like, no. I don't, this isn't my end goal at all. And like, Stassi's like sitting there being like, this is like what we've all been dreaming of.
It is what they've all been dreaming of. Like, yeah. Lala has had like the balls to like dream bigger.
Yeah.
And this is like peak, like every day that everyone else wakes up on Vanderpump Rules is the best day of their lives because yeah. they never ever thought that it would get to this. Like, so they've never like let their minds just like wander to like their wildest dreams.
Yeah.
And then now they get, but which is a great place to be because then every day is a gift.
I mean, like, what's crazy is they were sitting at that table kind of talking about like how successful like Tom and Tom are, but like Stassi and Lala are just like,
Stassi's the most successful.
Insurmountably more successful than either of those two will be, regardless of this restaurant.
Yeah. Like, they're like, they own a restaurant. Like, this is incredible.
Like, they don't own anything. No. It's
their
namesake.
They can't even get their boss to make a written out contract.
Yeah. That's how little she trusts them.
Yeah. Like, this is not success.
No. Writing a book is success. Like, getting a book deal, success. Like, yeah. having a private jet you can use whenever you want.
That's
is success.
Yeah. Jax is 39, and he and Lisa talk, and he said he actually had a good cry this morning. She's like, cool. How's your birthday going? He's like, I had a good cry this morning.
Yeah, and then he relays the same sob story of, like, my mom didn't call me.
Yeah,
I think he genuinely just wanted her to feel bad because he's obsessed with like Lisa playing his mom.
Yeah, it puts her in like a power seat where she gets like take care of him, and yeah. he's like a wounded
her, like,
baby,
wounded bird analogy yeah. that she always uses.
Okay, I was truly shaken to my very core when it was revealed that the Toms know what aquafaba is.
So was I.
Because I just got Gwyneth's Clean Plate book, and that was the first time I'd ever heard of aquafaba. Was
That's
from,
how
like,
I heard
Goop.
About it, too.
Yeah. And I thought, like, that crossover where it's like they know about things that are chic, like, before I know about them, makes me really uncomfortable, and I question everything about my life.
I'm sure that someone had to, like, I'm... Maybe this is a stretch, but it's actually not that much of a reach to say that whenever Lisa told them that they could do this, she may have like had them take classes with like upscale people.
Oh, yeah. That's
I feel like
point.
She wouldn't give them this type of like power of like the namesake and being like the like poster children of all of this and be able to like make their own drinks without like learning like the real, especially like Schwartz,
mm-hmm.
who knows nothing about the art of anything.
Yeah. He probably was told like a couple weeks prior, like, this is what this is.
Yeah.
This is what we need. And
I
then
feel
he
like
got
they,
like obsessed with
yeah.
it because it was kind of a big word. And
of
like,
course. Yeah. And he's yeah. excited. He loves the big words, as yeah. we talked about earlier.
He Googled it and yeah. then really like got into like researching aquafaba, and then like, when it ran out that night, he was excited to like make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better. Cause I was truly like, I had to just like pause and take a moment when I was watching.
I just like genuinely don't think like as like damage control, like I think that Lisa has the wits to like secure that her business is going to be run properly by people. If someone asked them, if someone like a patron came in and like asked them, like, do you have this? You can't have these like fumbling idiots be like, what's that?
Yeah.
You know?
Aqua what?
Yeah. Like yeah. you can't risk that. I feel like they may have been put through like an intensive program.
Yeah.
Like a boot camp.
They had to have been.
Yeah.
I wish they had filmed that.
Yeah.
I need to know what all steps went into like, them actually doing this
exactly.
restaurant. Because all they've showed is like them being idiots.
Yeah. I feel like the boot camp would have been necessary, but also would have probably like made them look bad on actual TV. Like they didn't know what they were doing the whole time.
Yeah.
Which they didn't.
Yeah.
So now that they like randomly do, I think that's not a coincidence.
Lisa's shit-faced and she's preening to just like no one.
Yeah.
Like smiling out at the universe, like kind of like dancing to herself.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I love this. And then Tom Sandoval says, Lisa being drunk right now is such a huge compliment. Which is like, that is like a, that epitomizes the way that people on Vanderpump Rules think.
That was another thing that my boyfriend looked up and goes, what? Like, he was just like, wait, like, how is that a compliment? Like, this is like, the bar is that low? Like, someone getting drunk, like,
Lisa's
is your
drunk
success?
Because there's no AC. It's yeah. hot as fuck. She's like probably stressed out, hasn't eaten anything, drink one cocktail yeah. and is now shit-faced.
I only saw clips of her drinking that same pink cocktail.
And like,
of course she's drunk. It was a big cocktail.
Yeah. But like someone getting drunk is not a compliment.
No.
But I love no. that they take it that way.
Yeah.
And then I wrote down like, just what the fuck is this episode? Because we've literally been like conned into watching an episode about them like throwing a party at Tom Tom.
Which was like, Daily Mail.
For the Daily
for
Mail,
the
which
Daily
was like
Mail.
The most low stakes. There was no stakes and they just had to like create stakes. Like we all know that the party was going to happen. Like what the fuck? Yeah. Billy Lee is nowhere to be found, which like I would have loved any sort of follow up on like all the Billy Lee drama.
Yeah.
It would have been perfect to include her in this and yeah. also show her at like the girls' night.
And
that
she
happened.
Wasn't invited. So I wonder how that's going to turn out.
Yeah. Oh, Lala says about the Tom, she goes, she's like talking about how successful everyone is. And she goes, they have their names on a building in West Hollywood. Life is fucking good. And it's like, the definition of success
is the bar is so low.
Yeah.
But also, did you love her outfit? She was dressed like she was about to perform Godspell.
Yeah.
She was wearing like a polka dot, like, and then a beret. Like,
and a beret.
Straight
and
out of like Rhythm Nation.
Like a Gucci, like, waist yeah. bag.
Yeah.
She looked like she was like either going to be in a music video or like play tennis.
Yeah. I'm so
and
confused.
She was supposed to work. She was working.
Yeah.
Like she wasn't there as
hosting
a party guest.
Or greeting people.
Yeah. She was there like standing at the
just like honing it in basically.
Yeah. Jax says he goes and like fucks with James and like yeah. keeps friendly, like offering to get him a drink, which was the most sinister thing ever because he knows that James
really
is not
dark.
Drinking.
He asked multiple times. He was like, can I get you a drink? Can
He's
I get
like,
you a
let
beer?
Me get you a
can
drink,
I get you a
man.
Cocktail?
I'll get you whatever. Like, what do you want? And that James has to say, like, I'm not drinking. So Jax just went up there to like fuck with him
yeah.
and like try and get
he
him
kind
to
of
fall off
it
the
too.
Wagon. Yeah.
What I find like really sinister about that is that like if anyone has had like substance problems, it's fucking Jack. So like knowing that someone is sober and like picking on them for it, not
cool.
Not cool at all. And he knew exactly what he was doing.
He knew exactly.
With like the guise of being like friendly.
Yeah.
Where he's like,
which
Betty,
makes it
like,
even worse.
And then he makes a gay joke about him.
Yeah.
And then the closet
James
joke.
James is like, I know.
Yeah, that was like, that's the thing that I'm waiting for.
Yeah, like fully diffused it
yeah.
and then was like, whatever.
I mean, I think everyone on the season knows that Raquel is his beard.
Yeah.
Everyone on the season has a beard.
Where's, like, yeah, I need Logan back in the mix.
I need to know what happened. I need to tell all from Logan.
I feel like it's like they probably filmed like whatever was going on with Logan like last season, but then cut it because it was like
too
revealing or something.
I don't think it's like, unfortunately, except for those of us who like watch it and like dissect it like this, I feel like Vanderpump is like, the audience is not ready to like divulge in like purely gay man on man.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this is like, I mean, wasn't Brittany like a fan before she met Jax? Like, didn't they
yeah.
meet like because she was a fan?
They met, I think he
and
had like a meet
and like
greet.
A while not to be homophobic.
Yeah.
It took her like a while. We saw her like struggling with it and like talking to her mom and being like, these people are, they're just like you and me, mom. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it just, you could see like her internal struggle with like everything she'd been taught as like a good Christian woman. And then like moving to LA
yeah.
and being like inundated with like how life outside of like these tiny pocket areas work.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the audience for Vanderpump is not like wanting to see James.
Like, true, like, gay representation on the show. Yeah, it's a very straight show for being like
really straight, really white
in a very, very like gay part of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they act like very, I mean, I think that's why they have to be so extravagant about their like pride. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, because you have like no one.
Yeah. And also, like, I just feel like Billy Lee was kind of like, at this point has been chewed up and spit out. Like, she was used kind of as a prop last season. Yeah, for sure. And then this season when she is bringing up, like, it's good to have the conversation around what, like, the trans issues that she's bringing up, even if it's, like, kind of misguided. But it's like, where the fuck is she?
Yeah. And also, I thought it was really exploitative. The last, like, pride, whenever Lisa, like, made her, like, tell her story in front of, like, 10,000 people.
Yeah.
I was like, this is our new, like, trans member of staff. Mm-hmm. And it was
she's
just like,
now
like,
there you go.
Yeah, I was just like, are you kidding? Like, that's so weirdly exploitative.
Yeah.
And then they're, like, surprised that she's stirring up so much drama. And it's just, like...
And then everyone was, like, made such a huge deal. Like, every single cast member was, like, Billy Lee is amazing. She's so brave. I love her. Like, we're so happy that she's here.
Yeah.
And then, like, the second that she kind of, like...
Stepped in a line with them.
Yeah, they're, like, actually, it's not what this is about. And, like, you really need to check yourself.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
I remember when that whole shift happened where Billy started tweeting and I like went to the Instagram and saw that she like wasn't tagged. Mm-hmm. And while like obviously I thought it was a stretch because I was like, they just aren't your friend.
Yeah.
I felt like there were like much better ways to like incorporate a real conversation about diversity and inclusivity into Vanderpump Rules. And they just like don't care.
No.
They don't care enough. Like they're not going to bring in like... a person of color.
Mm-mm.
They're not. They, like, I mean, they literally, like, I feel like they did Faith so fucking dirty by, like, having her fucking audio record. Because, like, I feel like I know in my heart that out of all of that dark situation, it couldn't have been her, like, first, like, human instinct to be, like, I should record this. I genuinely feel like production... like eggs people into these situations.
Well, I think also like Faith definitely was a side character that was like
she wanted to be more.
She was motivated to like try and be on the show more.
Yeah.
And the way that this show works is like the only way that you can do that as an outsider is to like fuck your way on.
Yeah.
So she like went through the motions of exactly what was expected in order to get the attention. But then as soon as she got it, it was like, we don't get her side of the story. She's like immediately vilified and like thrown off.
I couldn't. That's one thing that I like, just like did not sit well with me because I was just like, if Brittany wants to hear about what actually happened and about how many times it happened, you go to the woman in the situation.
Yeah. Go to the source and like talk it out.
Yes,
and
because instead, Jax is a historic liar.
Yeah. And then instead of that, we just got like, she's fucking ratchet, like trashy, like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then she was off. She never got to say her piece, but I think it worked out well for her because she's like killing it on MTV now. Like has like a whole career on another network, which is great.
Yeah.
Like, she deserves that. But I was like, this was not right.
Yeah. No. And the whole, I mean, the way it went down wasn't right either. I just like, I don't see the way that she's like performing on MTV and like killing it. Like I just like can't wrap my mind around how it was like her idea to like trap Jax and then like film or audio record like what he said.
I
feel like someone definitely was like, maybe you should do this. Maybe it would be good for you to do this in a kind of like Bachelor-esque way where they're like, oh, like maybe you should like start beef with this girl because she said like A, B, and C about you.
Yeah. Faith could have been, I wonder if she was, like, in touch with producers over that period of time, like...
I feel like maybe
trying to, like, maybe text with them or...
Yeah.
To see about, like, storylines or something.
Yeah, to be like, hey, look, like, this thing with, like, Jax is happening, like, what do you think I can do?
Because producers have the voicemail.
Yeah.
Like, it still exists.
Yeah. I would die to hear it.
I would literally pay.
Yeah, and I
would pay.
The fact that I know it's so much worse than what we heard is, like, devastating to me.
Well, we didn't even... I don't think we even heard, like, a snippet of it.
No, we didn't hear any of it.
I think it's, like, so damning that it's just, like... Sandoval says that 2014 and 2018 are the two best years of his life. The year that he got with Ariana.
Yeah.
And then the year that Tom Tom opened.
That's really ironic considering like they haven't had sex in any of the years in between. Like.
That he's just like celibate.
Yeah.
No wonder he has like such intense energy to be like a great bartender.
Yeah. I just don't understand the relationship. Ugh. And that part was like so funny and weird to me.
Yeah.
I need them to break up.
I need them to break up. I need Sandoval. Like, I'm invested in his, like, growth of Tom Tom.
Yeah.
Like, taking it to the next level. I think he could be outed.
Yes.
As a drug addict.
Yes. And he needs to receive help. And I feel like, I think that Sandoval is, like, a bit annoying and pretentious. I do think, however, that Schwartz holds him back.
Yeah.
And he cares so much about his mixology shit.
Mm-hmm.
I love that like flashback where Ariana was like back in like 2010. Like,
and then we were broke at Villa Blanca and it just showed like how amazing Tom Sandoval is.
Yeah. And he has like a scene haircut and he's like handing like Lisa and Ken like the spicy cocktail. And he's like, guys, be careful. It's spicy.
He's passionate.
And then the scene ends, and it was also like in black and white to just like add the effect.
That's when you know it's serious.
Yeah.
And vintage.
Yeah. And Ariana's like kind of in the background with like long curly hair.
Mm-hmm. I like Ariana's like changing looks throughout the year.
Yeah. I like her look right now the best.
Yeah. She's had a real glow up and it looks good. I feel like her kind of like plastic surgery stuff, whatever was going on, kind of settled in and it all looks really good now.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Of course. This has been so much fun.
This is so great. A comprehensive discussion.
I love it.
Just what I needed.
This is what I've been waiting for.
Tell all the listeners where they can find you.
You guys can find me on Twitter. My @ is simply @ Helen.
Power move.
I know.
You're like Britney.
I know. Love. I was lucky enough to get that handle. I actually asked for it, so it didn't used to be that. But it is @ Helen, which is H-E-L-E-N. And perfect. You guys can find me there.
Love it. And in Playboy.
Yes.
Love. I'm
a Playboy columnist. And if you pick up the magazine that's out right now, you can see me naked.
Chic.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to come back again.
I will. I
would love to have you. Yay. And until next time. Bye.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.